Wake-Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the NBA season's starting tonight with two games, both Golden State and Boston in action. And Lee Ellis joins us, formerly of the No Dunks podcast at The Athletic, now trying something kind of new. Lee, how are you, my friend?
Fine, thanks, Tony. How are you?
20 pickup games in 20 cities around the in different parts around the world. Is this what you're doing? I love it.
That's what I'm trying to do anyway. That's the long-term plan here. I've kind of been doing this over the last couple of summers when I've been traveling in the off season. I go out and I play and I have fun. I've done it in Germany and Spain and Greece and places like that. And so I've decided, you know what? Maybe there's something to this, because every time I do it, people, when I put it on social media, they say, man, if you come into my city, you know, we'll play, we'll have some fun, and I'll take you around the city. And I got so many invitations for that when I started putting them together and then sort of messaging people back and saying, hey, I might be here, just almost like testing it out, people like, man, if you come, don't worry, we'll do it, we'll make it happen. And so, you know, I decided I've been, you know, in the sort of NBA podcast sort of media world for 11 years. And, you know, you just get that point where you're sort of like, man, I wouldn't mind trying something different here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so that's what I'm going to do. I mean, it's not like I'm not going to follow the NBA or anything like that anymore. It's just a bit of a change up in the career sense.
That's great. Great. Well, we'll definitely hook up with you when this project is coming together and see how it goes, because I'm fascinated. That's fantastic. Lee,
thank you for the support.
Yeah, of course. Lee, the big overriding picture is this off season. How much movement in the off season was there to you, and how much change do you see across the board the way players were moving, and who benefited from all of that this off season?
Well, I mean, really, to me, it's not so much a movement, but it's the return of Kawhi Leonard, I think, to the Clippers is probably the biggest storyline, because the Clippers, of course, went out, made the big splash a few years ago. They got him, they got Paul George, but ultimately those guys have been pretty much, it's been a disappointment in the grand sense, because, of course, they lost down in the bubble, they blew the 3-1 lead, and then Kawhi's been out the last season, and Paul George missed most of it last year, and he, of course, they missed the play-in tournament as well. And the Clippers, to me, they're not in a rebuild mode, they're not looking for, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road. They need to win right now to justify the big expense. They've given up a lot of draft picks to get their players, and we know that Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he's an MVP candidate when he plays, there's no question about that. But it's been so long since we've seen him. I think now we've seen all the highlights, all the video. Everyone's putting up their videos of their off-season workout. Everyone's looking great. They're in great shape. And I think that is probably the most significant improvement for a team, because it takes them from a team that didn't make the playoffs to literally a championship contender, I think, immediately. If, of course, they can stay on the floor, which is a big question. So, you know, the Warriors kind of, I mean, it's funny to say, but I sort of feel like the Warriors snuck up on us last year and won the championship, because the big talking point in the West, of course, was the Phoenix Suns. They fell apart. The Memphis Grizzlies were a great story. The Bucks were going for back-to-back. But then all of a sudden, when all the dust settled, it was the Warriors standing atop the mountain again. And I do believe that the Clippers probably are, at full strength, the biggest threat to the Warriors. I just think they've got too many guys that are hard for the Warriors to defend. And at the other end, I think the Clippers have the most versatile defenders to be able to at least make life difficult for Steph and Clay and the Warriors team there. So I think that's interesting. It feels like that Clippers curse is always kind of hovering around the franchise. but maybe this year is the year that they can break through.
All right, let's go to the East, the team the Warriors did beat in the finals, in the Celtics. Joe Mazzulla now takes over as Ime Udoka has been suspended. Sometimes you get these turmoils in teams that can affect them, but then you can sense that sometimes teams rally around it. What do you think the Celtics are going to do? Ime Udoka had a big influence on how that team played in the second half. Can Mazzulla keep that up?
Well, if he's smart, if I'm Mazzulla, you don't really have to change too much up, because the players haven't changed. You've still got Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart there, and they bring in Malcolm Brogdon as well. So it's a very good coaching situation to go into, a stable team that made the finals. And that stuff that happened with Udoka, and we don't need to get into it right now, but that wasn't a conflict, of course, with his players. So it wasn't like there was a big division amongst the coach and the playing staff. So the players know what they have to do. They did it very, very well last season. Mazzulla was a part of that. And so if he's really understanding his role here, you don't need to go out there and try to put your whole big stamp on things. Just basically follow the footsteps of what Udoka put in the second half of the season. As you mentioned there, that was when they really put their foot on the gas. And so that, to me, means that the Celtics are still they should be no worse than sort of second or third in the Eastern Conference. Again, there's always the caveat, of course, of injuries and things like that. But Jason Tatum, I mean, he's an incredible talent. He wasn't great in the finals, but I think for a young player, you give him a bit of a pass there, knowing that this is a great experience and he'll get better with that. But ultimately, Brown and Tatum and Smart and Horford are coming back there. Those guys are very solid players. They've been with this team now for a couple of seasons. Well, Horford sort of left there, but of course came back. But I think that's why the continuity to me is far more important than necessarily the head coach. I mean, Udoka, respect to him, he did well. But I think the players themselves know without any huge turmoil within the locker room, they should be able to go out there and be as good as they were last season.
All right, your thoughts on the Sixers, right? Now you get a full Harden-Embiid relationship. They got P.J. Tucker. This makes Miami a little bit weaker. Where do you see the Philadelphia 76ers?
This, to me, I don't think any team has a further sort of pendulum swing potential than the Sixers, because Harden, of course, when he came over, didn't look all that great in Philadelphia last season. He said he's lost some weight. He said he's gotten himself in better shape. We'll see tonight. I mean, we get the first look at the new-look Sixers, but I sort of feel that, you know, they have the potential to be maybe a championship contender with Joel Embiid. You know, he's always in the MVP conversation. But I also feel it's kind of combustible there as well, because, you know, we've seen that James Harden doesn't really get along with star teammates. You know, it didn't happen in Houston with Chris Paul and Dwight Howard. Didn't happen there in Brooklyn with his old teammate there, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, of course. And now it's like, can he at this stage of his career really turn his game around to become a great teammate as well as a great player? And I'm not sure that he can. I'd like to be proven wrong, but I sort of feel with Philadelphia, if they don't get off to a good start, let's say they're 500 after 20 games, I can already sort of see, like, you know, a little bit of sniping in the on social media at each other and things like that. But let's say it's the opposite. Let's say they're 14-6 or 15-5, something like that. Then maybe it is. Maybe this is the situation. It's taken James Harden to get to this point of his career where he can actually, you know, really bring together being a good teammate and a good player and getting the most out of one of his superstar teammates. We'll see. But I don't feel... I've seen a few other people predict that Philadelphia is going to win the East. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't make that prediction. I think they have the potential to, but I think they're more likely to finish sort of fourth or fifth in that area. I don't really see them as the best team in the Eastern Conference.
I liked what you said about Golden State, because I agree with you. Like, they disappeared for a while due to injuries, and there was these up-and-coming teams and sort of lost, and it was, you know, hey, when Golden State's healthy, they're one of the best teams in the NBA. But Lee, look at the West. Look how many young players are ready to take another shot. All of them, from Luka to Devin Booker to Nikola Jokic, these young up-and-coming players in that conference. Can Golden State hold them off again?
Well, the thing is with the Warriors, what we have learned, and if you go back to the 73-9 season, is they no longer really put an emphasis on the regular season. So they could be almost rope-a-doping the rest of the league by, you know, they might only win 50 or 51 games. I think they've got 52 last season, I think it was. It's because they know that when it comes to playoff time, they carry that swagger, that championship experience, where it's like, we don't need home court advantage. We don't need necessarily to be playing our best basketball in February and March. We just need guys healthy, and we know that we have that ability. Like, I mean, I remember last season, the Celtics were up 2-1, and they should have been up 3-1 in the finals. And instead, the Warriors just rattled off three straight and won the championship. And remember, after game three, especially Draymond Green was like, we've been here before. We know what this is all about. And I think that really now just shows how the Warriors believe in themselves no matter what. And the other teams, until you get knocked out, until you get defeated by another team, you really, you know, they are the champs and they're the ones who earn all the respect. So, yeah, I'm not going to be sort of monitoring the Warriors too much during the regular season, because I just know that they're not trying to win 65 games. They're not trying to put all that energy and effort into doing that. All they're trying to do is make sure that they finish somewhere in that top four. I mean, ideally, of course, they'd love to finish second or first even, but they won't say, all right, let's sacrifice the potential of everyone's health here to play 82 games. Let's just get Steph to play 65, 70, same with Clay and those guys, and make sure that by April, May time, those guys have got fresh legs still and are potentially playing another 2 months of basketball. So that's the thing with the Warriors. You know, I mean, the Suns last season were the greatest regular season team of the season. You know, perfect on best home record, best road record. But we saw what happened in the playoffs. They fell apart. And that just shows you that you know, you can win 60 games in the regular season, but if you aren't able to turn that into playoff success, then really, what was the point of going for it?
All right, I do have to ask you about Brooklyn. It just seems like all the news out of Brooklyn was Kevin Durant wants to be traded. No, he doesn't want to be traded. And all of this stuff, they don't like Steve Nash. No, they do like Steve Nash. But in the end, when they finally play and Kyrie's there all the time, I mean, what do we have here with the Brooklyn Nets? A dysfunctional but still a good home? Or we have a mess? What's going on?
I said Philadelphia had the biggest swing sort of potential. It probably is Brooklyn, though, because, I mean, Kevin Durant, we know that he, no matter what he said in the offseason, no matter, you know, he wanted out, he doesn't want to be there, sure, we understand that. But once he gets on the court, Kevin Durant's not going to take a playoff. He goes out there and he's still, you know, one of the most incredibly powerful, dynamic offensive forces the game has ever seen, and he wants to win. And Kevin Durant, I mean, look, he's a Hall of Famer. There's no question. He's probably top 20 all time, however you want to sort of break that down. But he does, I believe, need a championship, sort of a non-Warriors championship.
I agree.
And so if he can somehow, you know, get it all together there. And again, I don't think they can. I just don't believe in Brooklyn because I think they're the same where it's like things will be okay when they beat, they'll go on a 3 or 4 game win streak. They'll beat the Magic, you know, and the Jazz and you know, Oklahoma City or someone like that. But I just sort of feel that you can't say all that stuff that happened in the offseason, then ignore it and then get it all together to go and win a championship. I mean, they should still win 45 to 50 games. They should make the playoffs. But I just don't believe that they have enough to go out there and win it all. I think there are so many other teams that are better than them in the East. I mean, Boston, we mentioned. Milwaukee is my favorite in the East, I think, with Giannis there. And then, you know, again, Toronto, I think, is probably underrated a little bit. They've had a very quiet but good off-season. And I don't believe in Brooklyn, but I don't also sort of think that, again, the Kevin Durant factor means that they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to not make the playoffs. They're not going to win 25 games or anything like that. They're going to be a tough team to beat. But there's just too much internal chaos. I mean, they're another team. Let's say they're 500 after 20 games. Well, then Steve Nash almost has to be fired. You know, they have to sort of make a change because, a bit like I said about the Clippers, they're in championship win now mode. They're not trying to build for a couple of years down the road, like, you know, say the Memphis Grizzlies. They're trying to win it all now. So there's always that, okay, the first thing you do if the team isn't winning is you fire the coach, and then you try to figure it out from there. So, I mean, the one thing is, though, with the Nets, I mean, they probably are going to be the team that gets the most eyeballs on them because it just feels like the drama and the chaos there, it's the car crash. That's really what it is.
That's right.
And, you know, so it's fascinating, as always, this time of the year. There's already so many storylines and so many little things that you're interested in and following along. And it really has turned into just a high school drama with so many teams and so many situations in the NBA. But look, it's great. And that's really where, you know, where people are interested in talking these days.
All right, Lee, good luck with the project, and we'll stay in touch with you. That sounds like a ton of fun. Thank you, as always, for coming on. Appreciate it, my man.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks very much for having me.
You got it. Lee Ellis, again, 20 games and 20 pickup games in 20 cities. And again, formerly of The Athletic, talking some NBA with us. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.